Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For those of you who love summer, I got bad news. We are 7.5 hours away from the official start of autumn. For those of you who love autumn slash fall, it's your time of year. It's my time of year. I don't dislike summer. I can find the value in every season. And of course, going to the beach during the summertime and enjoying outdoor activities in the summertime, that's nice. I don't mind heat. I just can't stand the humidity. I know I live in the wrong part of the country for that. Penny and I, we're done with the summer, and we're ready to move into the season of fall. And to celebrate the end of summer, I clean toilets. I mean, a girl's got to do what a girl's got to do. Somebody's got to clean them, and Sugar certainly isn't going to. And then I took Penny's picture a bunch. The poor dog, she hates having her picture taken, but she does love the treats that I tease her with. So, happy last day of summer. Nothing says that like a picture of Penny laying on my front sidewalk. So if you want to check it out, it's there for you to admire. She's beautiful. I did comb her actually on Monday because her coat is getting thicker now. In my neighborhood, we've had temps, I kid you not, in the upper 30s already. And in fact, when I got home yesterday morning, get this, it was 61 degrees inside my house. But I don't care how cold it is. I refuse to turn the heat on in September. I refuse. It's the principle of the thing. And so I just piled up the blankets on my bed. I wore some fleecy pajama pants and socks to bed. And boy, did I sleep great. One of my favorite things about the fall and the winter is that I sleep much better in the cold than I do in the hot. Anyway, so check out Penny's picture. She looks really pretty. Her coat's all shiny and very soft, actually. It's remarkable. How pretty her coat is. She is half golden retriever, and so she has the golden color. So you can find that on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And happy last few hours of summer for you. We're going to do a fall question on this edition of the show. I know football's the obvious answer because we do probably 85% football this time of the year. We're going to have to make some room for the World Series and for the NBA Finals. And of course, tonight we're going to make room for the Stanley Cup Final. It's a nice rebound by the Tampa Bay Lightning. But we're all about the football certain times of the year. Fall being one of those times. So in addition to football, we need you to fill in the blank. In addition to football, what is your favorite thing about autumn? Football. What is your favorite thing about autumn? And if you say the color orange, well, then we're automatically kindred spirits. I kid you not, I'm wearing orange socks. And when I say orange, I mean bright orange, as in orange, the color of the Syracuse orange. Ha. So this is one of my favorite times of the year, September, October, November. I enjoy the fall weather. I enjoy the crisp, clear air. I love the smell of whether it's campfires or whether it's the smell of my neighbors using their fireplaces, which I don't have one. I wish I did. But I don't have one in this particular house. Just everything about autumn I love. But on principle, I refuse to turn my heat on when it's the month of September. I didn't turn my heat off until after Memorial Day in my old house, and I'm certainly not turning it on right now, but it is cool not to have the air condition running, so I know my electric bill is going to reflect the savings. Woo! I hope you had a Monday, and I don't mean a Monday. I mean a Monday! Drew Brees had a case of the Mondays, which he doesn't often have. It's a little bit odd to see the Saints playing like this. Now, you can jump to conclusions, as many already have. Did you see that Jameis Winston was trending on Twitter on Monday night? Uh-huh. I could see right through you, football fans. It's easy to jump to the conclusion that Drew Brees is losing it. Yes, all of a sudden, he just all of a sudden became a terrible quarterback. I will give to you this concession. Brees is not generally going to be chucking the ball 50 yards down the field. That's the arm strength is not his strong suit. It never has been. Accuracy is, though. And he wasn't super accurate in this game. And the Saints themselves were largely undisciplined. Do you know in the first two games of the season, New Orleans has incurred roughly 250 penalty yards? That's way too many, especially when you're on the road in hostile territory against a team that has got the ability to dominate the trenches. And so Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints do not look like what we have come to expect from Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. They've got to cut down on the mistakes, and I mean the mistakes that they can control. Sometimes you got to give credit to the defense for making a great play. But when Drew throws a ball directly to a defender and all he has to do is stick his hands up there and catch it, that's a mistake on the quarterback, not a mistake that was caused by some great defense. No, he threw the ball right to him. Maybe he had a blind spot for that uniform. Either way, the Saints have got to cut down on the messy, sloppy, and the undisciplined plays. They still racked up a bunch of yardage, but they also didn't stop the Raiders or slow them down much outside of that first quarter. And one of the reasons is they stopped getting pressure on Derek Carr. So initially, early on, there were three sacks on Carr. And then the Raiders' offensive line shored up, bowed up, bucked up little campers, and they were a lot stronger. So Drew Brees passed for 300 yards. Yeah, he could do that in his sleep. But he also threw an interception. The team had far too many penalties, and New Orleans is now 1-1. Does it hurt that Brees did not have Mike Thomas? Of course. Of course it does. But as we're going to talk about on this edition of the show, injuries are going to play a major role moving forward in 2020. But here's your initial nerd alert. This is for Drew Brees, who had a case of the Mondays. When Mike Thomas plays, Brees has a passer rating of better than 109. And he also has 121 passing touchdowns versus just 29 picks. But in two games, he's only played two games. This is pretty amazing. He's only played two games without Thomas since he was drafted. Thomas, not Brees. But in both those games, the Saints have lost. And his passer rating drops to 69 from 109 to 69. And he has one passing touchdown and four interceptions in those games. And so for Drew Brees, not having Mike Thomas is a big deal. It looked like they were going to wear Alvin Kamara out. And so that's a theme that a lot of teams are going to have to deal with moving forward. As we talk about the various injuries a little bit later in the show, it matters. But no one's feeling sorry for you, New Orleans Saints. And so they did not look good. They got dominated in the time of possession battle. And a lot of that is due to the success of not only the Raiders' offensive line, but also the play of Derek Carr. What did he say to us at the beginning of the year? Well, is it beginning of training camp. He said, I never considered opting out of the 2020 season because I have something to prove. I'm tired of being disrespected. Well, do you know, the Raiders are now 2-0, and Derek Carr is a big reason why.
Waller comes in motion to the left side. Now he'll go back out to the right. Carr's going to throw. Dumps it to him for a touchdown. Beautiful. They went to Alec Ingold. They crossed him up. And the fullback, that was a terrific bit of trickeration that time. Carr in the pocket, throws end zone, dive for the end zone. Touchdown, Raiders! Zay Jones. John does not hesitate. He's going for it on fourth down. Big boy football. No field goal. Deadlocked at 17. Ingold set in front of Jacobs. Carr going to throw. Rolls right, wide open. Touchdown, Waller. Beautiful play.
Derek Carr with three touchdown passes in this game. And he only misfired on 10 attempts. So 28 of 38, nearly 300 yards. Did have a fumble, and there were three early sacks. But the offensive line was much tougher after that. And for the Raiders to score 24 unanswered points in opening up Allegiant Stadium, it was impressive. Do you remember the question we asked on the first show of this work week in the wake of all those games on Sunday? I asked you which 2-0 teams were the most unexpected and which 0-2 teams caught you off guard. Well, put the Raiders in that conversation. Most of us said the Chicago Bears. A lot of you said Arizona Cardinals among the teams that surprised you at 2-0. I would say the Las Vegas Raiders. I got to keep practicing. The Vegas Raiders. And unfortunately, they couldn't have fans in their new stadium. But it does look pretty. It's shiny, all right, in Vegas. And it's kind of a cool setting as well. So the Raiders move to 2-0. The Saints fall to 1-1. We'll get some reaction here in these next few minutes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Penny is waiting for you to admire her. And I did also post the picture on Facebook. I'm ahead of you, peeps. I'm ahead of you. The photo on Facebook is pinned to the top of the page. And every time I post a photo of my puppers, you know what happens? You all send me your own pictures. I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking Drew Brees and Derek Carr. I wonder if they have dogs. You all send me your own. And so I do love all of your puppy pictures. Thank you so much for those. And you can, again, you can find that pinned to the top of our Facebook page. One woman begged me to send her the picture of Penny so she could have it. Sure. Penny's a model. I don't mind. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Derek Carr and the Raiders opening up their brand new stadium tonight. I bet it felt strange without fans there. And I kind of wondered, actually. This is a question that I don't know that I'll find the answer to, but maybe if you're out there and you want to weigh in about it, that's cool. I wonder how many of the people who now claim to be Raiders fans are people who are either local to Las Vegas or live in the area where that's the closest football team and have adopted the Raiders as their new team versus former Oakland fans. I mean, yes, that sounds awkward, but you know what I mean. They're Oakland fans, and, you know, did they travel, not physically, but did they mentally travel to Vegas with the Raiders and decide, I'm still going to be a fan of this team? So I wonder what the breakdown is. I know if you're a true fan, it kind of dies hard, but it also is painful that the team has up and left. There's a lot of political and financial reasons why. Mark Davis wanted a brand new stadium, and he wanted to be in Vegas. And a lot of times the fans get caught in the crossfire. So for the Raiders to now have this brand new stadium that to me looks like a hockey puck on the strip, yeah, it's jazzy and it's sexy and it could be great for the league. but it also leaves some fans in its wake. So if you're a Raiders fan from the Oakland days, I'd love to hear from you. Meanwhile, as you can imagine, the players are psyched to not have to be sharing a stadium with a baseball team anymore.
This organization means everything to me. They've stuck behind me through some hard times, you know, through some times our team, we struggled. There's no doubt about it. But when you can get on the other side of things, be 2-0 as the Las Vegas Raiders, that's a pretty cool thing, you know?
It is a pretty cool thing. And for the Raiders now, can imagine that the fake crowd noise will do the trick, but you got to be looking forward to opening that stadium up for real fans. Also, I can't help it. The fake crowd noise is annoying me so much when it's turned up really loud. I lasted a quarter of watching the game on TV before I had to mute it. I couldn't take it. It was so loud. And I don't know if that's specific to ESPN. I know TNT has its crowd noise turned up pretty loud as well on the NBA broadcast. I couldn't take it. It was so annoying. I mean, I get it. You want to have some atmosphere, but does it have to be so loud that it's overpowering? That it's to the point where the announcers sometimes are having to talk over it? And I much prefer Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner to pretty much any other broadcast team on the planet. And so I muted the TV and I turned on the Westwood One broadcast. And thankfully, the fans were not nearly as annoying. And I can say that because it's fake fans. I'm annoyed by fake crowd noise. And maybe that puts me alone on my island, but I did hear from a few of you that said you were thinking the same thing. It's not supposed to be intrusive. It's supposed to kind of create and add to the atmosphere, but it doesn't sound authentic to me at all. Plus, we know it's not real. Why is it so freaking loud? Oh my gosh. And some networks do a better job than others, but I have found that on the radio, they tend to tune it down a little bit. Also, it's odd because I just went to an empty baseball stadium on Friday night and the noise isn't nearly as loud on the field. So I don't know why they have it so loud on the broadcast. But yeah, it was to the point where it was actually interrupting my enjoyment of the game. And so I lasted one quarter with the TV audio before I had to mute it. But for Derek Carr, also for Alec Ingold, for the Raiders, they'll take it. They'll take it however it comes.
It means a lot to have such a community bring itself together for us. And I think that's what we try and emulate in our play. You know, we're tough. We want to emulate what Vegas has, and we want to feed off of one another. So, you know, it's hard to not feel that energy here in the stadium, but trust me, every time they're on social media talking, every time you have an interview or you can read the news, whatever it is, you feel that energy and you feel that passion from these fans.
Ah, social media. Just wait. Just wait until they're calling for your job, Alec Ingold. Yes, it's nice to be passionate when your team's 2-0. It's easy to be passionate when your team has a brand new stadium. But things won't always be this easy. So the new fans have to learn how to stick there in Vegas. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We just got a post up. Producer Dave found, it's cute. It's perfect. And it works for our question. He found some peanuts, a peanuts gif. So in addition to football, because we know football is one of your favorite things about autumn, what are your other favorite things? These are a few of my favorite things. And then on our Facebook page too, I am in the weirdest mood. Maybe it's because I clean toilets. I feel very accomplished. And I made chili, but not at the same time. And yes, I washed my hands. Okay, so on Twitter or on Facebook, see what I mean? Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I need to breathe. Coming up next, you'll hear from Drew Brees and Sean Payton, as well as John Gruden. And I could have sworn that when he said he had the virus during training camp, it was a joke that he was not a joke. Sorry. It was a trick he was playing on his athletes, but that may not have been the case. All right. Good to have you with us on this Monday night as we bid farewell to summer. Some summertime.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Thank you.
Raiders try to rush four. Breeze under pressure. That's intercepted at the 45-yard line. Picked off by Nicholas Morrow. It was a terrible pass by Breeze. It was like he was throwing it to Morrow.
The turnover at the end of the half was unfortunate because, you know, I felt like that probably took points off the board for us. You know, maybe a field goal at the very least. And it gave points to them, you know, gave them 3 points. So, you know, if there's one thing I wish I could take back from the game, it would be that.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Drew makes a great point. It wasn't just the interception that led to points for the Raiders directly to a field goal, but it was also the fact that they only had a handful of possessions. And while he didn't know that would be the case at the time, you need to treat possessions as though they are valuable. Remember when you're in home ec in high school, for those of you who, well, for those of us who attended school in person, there was this exercise that you would do where you would carry an egg around. Maybe you and a partner carry an egg around and you had to take good care of that egg. And in some cases it was to simulate taking care of a baby, which is just so funny. Anyway, you had to be careful with that egg. Well, you got to be doing the same thing with the football. You got to be doing the same thing when it comes to possessions, especially in a road game. And for the Saints, maybe they didn't realize that possessions and time with the football would be so difficult to come by as they went through this game, because typically they take advantage. Plus, when he threw that interception, they were ahead. But honestly, you look big picture and you realize the time of possession battle is won by the Raiders by nearly 13 minutes. And you look at what happened in the second half, they only had a handful of possessions, time with the football, and they really didn't take advantage of that. They couldn't get much going until they had given up the 24 unanswered points.
Every drive in this game was very valuable, right? We really only got about 7 of them. So, you know, if one of those ends up being, you know, a turnover, that, you know, where we could have gotten points. And then the other one results in basically 3 penalties that took us out of field goal range and didn't allow us to get points, you know. So 2 out of 7 possessions, you know, should have resulted in some points. And so in a game like this, man, those are valuable. You got to have it.
Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints fall into a 1-1 hole. Brent Musburger is the voice of the now Las Vegas Raiders at Allegiant Stadium on their radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Sean Payton pulling no punches. Oh, by the way, Sean Payton, the NFL is on line 3. Both Sean Payton and John Gruden are going to be hearing from the NFL. Did you see the report, maybe hear it during the game, that the league has handed out nearly $1 million in fines for personnel, mostly for coaches, who are not wearing their masks correctly? Now, you can be anti-mask, you can be pro-mask. Honestly, I don't think it matters much in this forum because they're all tested. They wouldn't be there if they weren't negative for the virus. However, the point is, when you work for an employer and you want to keep that job, you play by their rules, period. We're here at work. We have to wear masks in and out of the building. When I'm walking around using the restroom, not in my studio, I have to be wearing my mask. If we're anywhere near someone else, and there's really not that many people here, but if we are, we need to be wearing our masks. I don't like it, but you know what? I got to do it because that's the company rules, and I work for an employer that has the prerogative to give me the rules. Same thing with going to the grocery store. So as much as I feel like it's unnecessary, and I only say that because we already know they're clean. If they hadn't had a negative virus test, in fact, more than one, they wouldn't be on the sidelines anyway. But the fact is, if you're not a player, you have to wear a mask. That's the safety protocols that the NFL laid out. And so if you're going to be an NFL head coach and make the kind of money that you do, and you want to be out there on the sidelines this season, well, guess what? You have to wear your mask. It's as simple as that. I say the same thing for the athletes. You don't have to like the rules, but you do have to follow them if you want to keep your job and not get called on the carpet by the NFL or the NBA or the NHL. We all have rules in our lives and our jobs that we don't necessarily love. Oh, well, It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So Sean Payton, yes, is going to be getting a call from the NFL. Apparently the fine is $100,000 for the coach himself and then $250,000 for the organization.
We didn't possess the ball enough offensively, and then defensively very quickly we couldn't get off the field. And we're going to look at third downs. We're going to look at time of possession, the turnover right before the half. We're going to look at a number of things, but we got to do a better job coaching.
It's a right now there's plenty of blame to go around. It's one of those starts for the Saints that even though they beat the Buccaneers in week one, they didn't look great either. Do you know in each of their games now they've been over 100 yards in penalties. And so it's important for them to find a rhythm. They've got to find consistency, and that's the struggle for every team right now. As for John Gruden, he couldn't be more thrilled with a starting quarterback who's got something to prove.
Outside of the stat sheet, Derek Carr was awesome tonight. He made some plays today that very few guys that I've coached could make. And I tip my hat to him. He hung in there against a very multiple defense. We expected that from them coming in here on a long week with a veteran defense.
Meanwhile, Coach Gruden is also going to be hearing from the NFL for not wearing his mask properly.
You know, I've had the virus. Okay, I'm doing my best. I'm very sensitive about it, but I'm calling plays. I just want to communicate in these situations, and I apologize. And if I get fined, I will have to pay the fine. But, I'm very sensitive about all of that, and I apologize.
Producer Dave, I could have sworn that we talked about this in the preseason. Well, there wasn't a preseason. In the training camp, where this was a trick, even sounds awkward. This was a ploy by the Raiders the Raiders coaches, there were a couple of them that knew they were going to tell the team that John Gruden had the virus, even though he didn't, right? It wasn't Anthony Lynn. Lynn actually did have the virus, but that was going back in the spring. So Lynn and Peyton had the virus, but I thought John Gruden's was a ploy to help his players understand how serious it was.
I'm pretty sure we played audio on that.
Yes.
The fact that it wasn't real.
So I don't understand. Did he have it at some other time?
He must have. I'm going to have to do some research.
Yeah, I don't recall that because we hear about it. These are high-profile figures inside the sports world. And so when a coach has had the virus, we've heard about it. Now, Lynn managed to keep it a secret because his was back in May. But he did tell his team, and he said they were kind of stunned, and they were so glad that he gotten over it. We, of course, knew Sean Payton had it. He was the first in the NFL community to get it. Remember, Von Miller got it early on, but I could have sworn the Raiders did this to kind of underscore how important it was to the players. And I remember that they kind of told them over a Zoom call, right? And we saw the athletes' reaction. So maybe he got it before that, and he was negative by that. I'm not really sure. We know Doug Peterson had it, of course, with the Eagles, and he had it during training camp and had to be away from the team for a while, but. I thought John Gruden's was a ploy.
Yeah, reportedly back in August mm-hmm. 5th. And these are reputable sources that wrote articles on this, that he had tricked Raiders players into thinking he had COVID-19. And then the articles now from tonight after the game from these exact comments say that apparently he did have it at some point over the summer.
What?
Careful, I mean, what you wish for?
Kind of makes
karma?
Him a liar. I don't
Wait, something.
So maybe he had it, but then told his players that he still had it. I don't know. Because, like I said, Anthony Lynn had it in the spring, and he told his players after the fact. But come on, that's a bit of a dirty trick, John Gruden.
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one. Oh, interesting. Chucky, we're on to you. Okay, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We're already enjoying your reactions to our question about autumn. In addition to football, what is your favorite thing about autumn? Orange. Orange everywhere. That is one of my favorite things, orange leaves, the orange pumpkins, and just orange pumpkin everything. I do love orange. There's usually great sunsets in autumn as well. So that's one thing that I love. But you can find us on Twitter or on our Facebook page. Penny's latest model photo is there, too. And now Bob Uessler is joining us. Bob, what is your favorite thing about autumn?
I love cool air, Amy. I love getting rid of the heat and the humidity. I love opening the windows on 55-degree nights.
Okay, so I got to ask you this. How cold does it have to be in your house before you cave and turn on your heat? And I do mean cave. Be a man, Bob. I'm teasing. I'm totally teasing.
No, I got you. And look, it's a 68 degree thermostat normally. So that's the floor. I mean, that's where I should say it's the ceiling.
That's the ceiling.
And I can tolerate it for a while. I have to admit that sometimes at the risk of blowing too much of that forced hot air, maybe I'll put on an extra layer or two.
Mm-hmm.
But I prefer the cool air. And so, I love the autumn for that reason.
Yeah, me too. Especially the lack of humidity. My house was 61 degrees when I got home yesterday morning.
Ooh.
Yeah, no, it was cold. If it drops below 60, I don't care. I have to. I just, that's too much. I don't want to be walking around with a coat in my house or a hat. But 61, yeah. I managed. I put multiple blankets on the bed and I slept so well. Oh, so nice.
That's great stuff. Yeah, yeah. My feet start turning blue. I know it's time to turn that thermostat up.
Oh, yes, for sure. Well, it's still September, though, and we're supposed to get some warmer weather here a little bit later this week. So
beautiful month, isn't it?
Yes, and I've heard from many of you around the country, and I know some of you still have a lot of heat, but some of you are also feeling the cooler temperatures, too, so that's great.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Third down, 10. Shotgun snap to Carr. Pitches out to Richard. Got a block from the guard. The 20 on the near side. Got a block at the 15. At the 10, the 5. Broke a tackle. Down the sideline. Touchdown, Raiders. What a run by Richard.
Well, there's a lot of sentimental, great vibes in our locker room. Everybody, you know, to be a part of winning the first game in history last week and then winning against a great team who's, I think, won 15 or 16 out of 18 on the road at home on Monday Night Football is a great thrill for all of us. We hope we can continue to improve. We think we've got a good young team, and we've got a great stadium. I know that. We've got a great fan base, and they're out in the street proving it. I just hope they wear their masks.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Okay, this whole thing is bizarro world with John Gruden. First of all, he reveals on his post-game Zoom press conference that he had the virus. But we don't really know. I don't think he was lying, but it's kind of a weird time to reveal it, isn't it? And then he wants people out in the streets to be wearing their masks, and yet the man had his mug plastered all over TV for not wearing his. Now, again, I understand that inside the NFL community, in these stadiums, everyone's been tested every single day, and they're negative or they wouldn't be there. And so the rule does seem like overkill, but come on, John Gruden. You hope they're wearing their masks outside, but you're about to get fined by the NFL for not wearing yours? Maybe take maybe take an hour and then preach to people about wearing their masks. That's not hypocritical at all. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This is not a debate about masks, by the way. It's just a debate about how if you work in the NFL, you need to follow the NFL's rules, period. There's really no debate. What is your favorite thing about autumn? Oh, my goodness. I love your answers already. So a lot of you finding us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or a show Twitter, After Hours CBS. If you haven't yet voted for Monday MVP, you still have time. That poll is still live. And then also on our Facebook page. And some of you, though, still find the need to grouse and complain. So Sean says, nothing. I hate winter. I could have sworn the question was about autumn, but somehow he skipped directly to winter. So that's unfortunate, grouchy. So let's go to our phones, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's our toll-free line, and it's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico, you like how I say it, could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com to learn more. I have no idea why I'm in such a goofy mood, but want to hear something goofy? I was listening to the Westwood One broadcast of the game with Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner, and I heard my Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds commercial. It was a little bit jarring. It caught me off guard to hear my own voice talking about pork rinds, but then you wanted to hear something really cool, Producer Dave. Kurt Warner started talking about it. Kurt Warner.
How about that?
One of my favorite quarterbacks. I mean, I love Kurt Warner. I love him for what he stands for on and off the field. And, of course, what he did as a Super Bowl winner and now a Hall of Famer. And so they come back from the commercial break, and he and Kevin Harlan start talking about pork rinds. And he says he's hungry. I'm like, oh, they just heard my commercial. So I wondered if Kevin Harlan recognized my voice because Kevin's been on the show a bunch. So
I'm sure he did.
I felt like sending a tweet to Kurt Warner and saying, that was me.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I like Kurt Warner.
I mean, I might have fallen over, like literally lost my balance and keeled over if he had said something about, wow, that was a really great commercial.
That would have been cool. That's highlight reel material.
We would have had to like go back and cut it from the Westwood One broadcast. All right, 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Sean, who's in San Diego. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning. How are you?
It's not morning in San Diego.
It's may as well be.
It's not even midnight there.
We got like 10 minutes. I got 10 minutes, but I know that you're in morning.
No,
so
I'm not. This is my Monday night, man. I live on West Coast time. I live on Alaska time.
So you made the comment, you know, how many of the Oakland fans versus how many are going to be Vegas fans. And obviously, being in San Diego, you know, it's the California teams, and having run a sports bar down here, I think you're forgetting something. My crowd that came in that were Raider fans weren't really Oakland fans. They were Los Angeles fans. And they were still L.A. Raider fans who weren't entirely thrilled that it had left and gone to Oakland, but they were still going to support the team. And now being in Vegas, those L.A. fans are close. They're going to go to the games where they would not have gone up maybe and watched them live in Oakland. They're going to go to Vegas to watch them. I think the Oakland fans are going to go to watch them. I think there's a lot of San Diego fans that were all, you know, everybody all of a sudden is 5-hour drive to go to the stadium and spend a weekend in Vegas. I think it was a brilliant move on the Raiders' part to go to Vegas. I mean, I think the Knights have proven that town is ready for teams, and it just was, in my opinion, it's brilliant. I think that stadium is going to be one of the most filled stadiums every single game. It doesn't matter whether they're winning or losing, it's going to be full.
I didn't forget, by the way. I didn't mention L.A. I thought about it because the number of people who still remember the Raiders as an L.A. franchise, it's smaller and smaller. So you have to agree with me that the majority of people who are Raiders fans would be those from the Oakland days, as well as those who are now jumping on the bandwagon, which is fine. They're moving to your town. So I didn't forget. I just didn't mention them because that group is obviously a little smaller. But I agree with you about Vegas. I think that it was a brilliant move, and that's why Mark Davis was insistent upon making it, regardless of what the Bay Area offered him in the 11th hour. And Las Vegas has a lot of people who want to spend money on sports. They've been waiting for a long time. It's similar to what happened in Oklahoma City. And I was there before they got the Thunder moved in from Seattle, but they specifically had an investor, someone who had the money and the capital from Oklahoma City, who knew how badly that city wanted a pro sports team. They thought they might have an opportunity to get a different team. As it turned out, it was the Seattle Supersonics, but he bought that team with the express purpose of moving it to Oklahoma City, recognizing how starved fans were there for a pro sports franchise. So yeah, I mean, you don't take it for granted when you've had to go without it for a long time, and Vegas fans definitely are showering these teams, even in this short relationship, they're showering them with love and affection.
Yep. It's just, The Raider fans are absolutely rabid fans, no matter where they're from, and that's just being. I just the number who still talk about it being an LA team down in Southern California it's still a good number that I think is going to be, well, good. It's all over the place.
But Sean, I would say this though, maybe that's not the case where you are, but I've heard from a lot of Raiders fans who told me they're so upset about the team moving that they're not going to follow them to Vegas, so to speak. So I'm quite certain that in a fan base that's got millions of people, there are some that aren't planning on doing that. But I do agree with you that it's a smart move by the Davis family. And it's kind of cool that the new stadium is being nicknamed the Big Al after Al Davis. That was great. And his widow was there, too, to light the torch on this first night. So I appreciate your phone call. Thanks so much for listening in San Diego.
Have a great night.
Let's talk to Louie, who's in Arizona. Louie, I can give you about 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey, Amy, how you doing?
I'm good.
I was just saying, you know, I'm from Arizona, born and raised, and I've been following the team since I can remember when I was in grade school.
Cool.
It doesn't matter if they're from Oakland, they go to L.A., back to Oakland, or even Mars. It doesn't matter. We'll follow the team wherever they go.
Now, how did you pick up your Raiders fandom?
Sorry?
How did you pick up your Raiders fandom?
Okay, it's a family thing. My dad, okay. His brothers, my brothers, now my kids. So it stayed with us. And like I said, we're from Arizona. Mm-hmm. And wherever we go, you know, we take that with us and stuff. Like I'm saying, you know, it doesn't matter wherever they play, mm-hmm. especially Las Vegas. We haven't had a home. We had to share a home with the A's. And now we got something that's ours. So if you're a real Raiders fan, you will follow the team wherever they go.
I like that attitude, Louie. In fact, I'm a fan of a bunch of teams that I was nowhere near in terms of geography, and like the Denver Broncos. I grew up a Broncos fan, even though I've never lived anywhere close to Denver. And so I'm with you. I agree, which, by the way, means we can't really be friends. But thank you so much for your phone call.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, maybe he didn't get that. He did, right? He's a Raiders fan. He understands Broncos and Raiders.
He's
fans.
Figuring it out right now.
Okay, you're right. After he hung up. Okay. He didn't have a witty comeback, but that's okay. All right. It's good to talk to you. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Just to tie a bow on our question from the last show about the most unexpected 2-0 teams, I'm definitely with you, those of you who said Chicago Bears. But honestly, if you look at the Raiders' schedule before they kicked off and you saw them on the road at Charlotte, now maybe you thought, okay, that's a victory against the Panthers, though they did have to deal with Christian McCaffrey. And then going home to open up on Monday Night Football against Mr. Monday himself, Drew Brees. Kind of an accomplishment to force Drew Brees into a case of the blahs on a Monday. So, yes, the Raiders at 2-0 are also unexpected. Same record as the Super Bowl champion Chiefs there in the AFC West.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.